Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Can I get an aw yeah?
Aw
yeah! Aw yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from all over the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, and
life-changing
way to learn English. So download this podcast now and listen to us while you're riding the bus, waiting in line at the store, trying to get your kids to eat their dinner, or even
rocking your lifestyle English.
Aw yeah, I'm joined here in the cross-continental studio, as always, with my partner in crime, Justin Murray. How you doing, man?
Oh yeah, man. I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm terrific. I'm really excited to record this podcast. We actually have some special news. This is going to be the first in a 6-part podcast series that we are creating, trying to put together really all of what we have learned with Real Life English over the last few years into one comprehensive methodology that we are calling the Real Life Way. So you podcast listeners and real lifers are going to be the first to get a peek at this methodology that we're really excited to be unrolling to the world.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to be sharing this with you, Ethan. We've been talking about this for quite a long time, planning it and really discussing how to communicate it, because as you guys know who've been following us, we've been doing lots of really great stuff with Real Life English for quite a long time, and so now we came to the moment where we decided we really need to simplify it, produce it, create it into a methodology, and share it with you guys. So as you guys know, a lot of you guys know, our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English. So with this, we have a promise for you that we are going to inspire, empower, and connect you to the world through English. We're going to do this for the Real Life Way, and the Real Life Way is going to inspire you to awaken the determination that you need to realize your true potential, not only as an English learner, but as a human being. We're also going to empower you to build the strategies, skills, and courage you need to step outside the classroom into the real world and not just learn English, but to live it. And we are going to connect you to a world beyond borders, a global consciousness and community, a realization of the fact that no matter what divides us, that which unites us is far greater. So this is our promise for you over the next, this podcast and the next 5 following this, and you're going to get to know the Real Life Way. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So those are some pretty big promises. We really hope to deliver on them for you guys. And if you really put in the work, you follow each episode of this podcast, you are just going to benefit from it hugely. You really need to listen to these in order to get the full benefit of it and to kind of arrive at the peak of being a kick-ass successful English learner. And Justin, what do we mean when we say a kick-ass English learner?
Well, to kick ass, I mean, we mean awesome. So ass, a lot of people think is a really bad word. It's not that bad in this situation. When you say kick ass, it's actually something very positive. Kick butt, for example, kick ass, awesome. That's what we mean. And in this case, a kick-ass English learner is somebody who is realizing their potential, not just as an English learner, but as a human being, a global citizen, a kick-ass English learner.
We will be sending you these lessons every week by email, along with some sort of bonus information. And if you open every email and listen to every episode, which we actually have a way of seeing this, then we are going to be sending you another special present in a few weeks, which has never before been shared with the world. And it's going to help you start putting the Real Life Way into action so that you can really succeed and reach your goals and your dreams with your English and hopefully with a lot of other things that you want to do in your life. So we're really excited to get started unrolling the Real Life Way to you. So Justin, are you ready to jump into the very first part of this?
Yes, I am. Today's lesson, as we mentioned, this is an overview. So we're going to be going through kind of a superficial explanation of each step to give you really an introduction. But next week, we're going to really dive into the first step and dig deeper and really cover more in depth. So the first step, which delivers on the first promise to inspire you to awaken the determination that you need to realize your true potential, not just as an English learner, but as a human being, we call it the first step, where there's a will, there's a way. So it's all about determination. So we've noticed, and this is something from the very beginning, we've noticed that learners are bored. People learning English, they're not motivated by traditional methods. They're forced to learn English in a way that's not motivating, it's not effective, for most people at least, and this is not the way to reach your potential in anything. And the second problem is that learners do not see the life-changing potential that English has. They don't understand that it's the gateway to a completely new world of experience and opportunities and perspective as English learners or members of this planet. So the first step is determination, taking learning into your own hands, reinventing your English, reinventing your life, injecting it with purpose, vision, discipline. And we believe that the most powerful first step you can take is to awaken your determination. So what exactly do we mean when we say determination, Ethan?
So determination is really a combination of things. It's kind of something that you'll see that unites all people that are successful in really any area, I would say, probably if they're a successful athlete, if they're a successful scholar, if they're a successful business person who has made millions of dollars, you're going to see that they have really deep determination that drives them forward. So this is kind of a combination of having a very strong desire to reach whatever goal that they're going after, having a very clear vision, which is guiding them. So when we say a clear vision, that's kind of like you have, kind of like Martin Luther King said, you have a dream. So it's something that you're always thinking about. You go to sleep, you wake up, it's always on your mind, and you just have something that tells you, you have to do this. So you have strong desire, a clear vision, and then you have very good discipline. So that has to do with what habits you cultivate, that you do this every single day, rain or shine, you're showing up and you are doing the work that it takes to make your goal a reality.
Yeah, one thing I would add to this, we include in the vision component, is like really having the right mindset, the right attitude toward your learning, the right attitude towards failure, for example, towards mistakes. So being able to really persevere through the difficult times and get critical feedback so that you're embracing your mistakes, so that you're constantly reprogramming your process. So, but we'll dive more into this in the next lesson, actually, which will be all about determination. Let's move on to the second promise. The second promise is that we will empower you with the strategies, skills, and courage that you need to step outside the classroom and into the real world and not just learn English, but to live it. So step two in the real life way is to not just learn English, but to live it. So the big problem that we're facing today that most learners face is that they treat English like a school subject, like something just dry and boring with grammar, with theory. They do it once or twice a week, but they never actually use it in their lives, in the real world. So just like we've been talking about from the very beginning, we really, really encourage people to make English a part of your life, a part of who you are, integrated into what you do, what you love doing, and immerse your life in it. So that's what we mean when we say not just learn English, but to live it. And this needs to be fun, needs to be natural and convenient. And we've talked a lot about different ways that we can do that. What are some of those ways, Ethan?
Well, I think like you said here, making it fun, natural, and convenient. Convenient is a huge part of it. I know so many of the students that I've worked with, they tend to make the excuse that they don't have time to learn. And what that excuse really means is that they just haven't organized their life to find the moments that are convenient. And so most of us, you know, we either drive to work or we ride the bus to work. And this is a great moment that you could be listening, for example, to this podcast or be listening to any sort of audio lesson. You can, for example, watch a TED Talk while you're cooking dinner. You can watch your favorite TV shows instead of watching them dubbed or with subtitles in Portuguese, or if you're in Brazil or in your native language, you could have it with subtitles in English or without subtitles, depending on what level you're at. So there's all sorts of ways that you can just change what you're already doing and make it something that is in English. And, you know, even though maybe you're just doing 5 minutes here and there, over time, it's going to add up to really big results. And I've seen this, I've seen how powerful this can be with thousands of different learners over the years.
Yeah, so that's the whole convenient aspect is really important, and it's really important to have fun too. To experiment, change your process up, do things that you're going to like, things that give you joy. And one of the things I always just anytime I meet somebody who's just starting to learn English, or even like a child who hasn't learned English, but they need to, I always say, just start with a song that you like. Just take one song that you like and just translate it. Just see if you can understand what they're saying. Just be curious. And that joy, that interest will accumulate into something much bigger. So again, music is really huge. And one of the things that we really focus on at Real Life English is TV shows or TV series, because we've met so many people who have really developed their English and reach very advanced native-like levels through just TV shows. And so a lot of you guys know, we always talk about our channel, that Learn English with TV series, and we have the Fluent with Friends course. But this is something that we've realized from the very beginning. We're trying to help people really integrate these into their lives, to take things they love and make them an enjoyable learning experience. So one other piece that I'd probably add to this, and this is something that we're focusing more on, is this idea of deliberate practice. So it's great to have a fun, natural, convenient learning process, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the most effective, because a lot of times when you're like listening to podcasts or listening to music, you're having fun, but you kind of plateau after a while. What does plateau mean, Ethan?
So I see this a lot, actually, that people get to a certain level. If you can think of a graph, which I know is maybe a little bit hard without actually looking at it, but that with your English at first, you're learning a lot. That graph is really steeply going up. You're learning. And then you get to kind of like a comfortable point where it's good enough. You can more or less, you can understand the podcast. You can more or less understand the TV series, but maybe you're still missing that 20% or that 10% or 5% that would really make you an exceptional learner. And you just kind of flatten out on that graph, which is, that would be a plateau.
Yeah, you stabilize in kind of the level where you're at and you don't seem to be improving. And what you need is a breakthrough. And so one of the best ways to give you breakthroughs, maybe lifestyle English, actually taking these strategies like listening to music and podcasts, that can really help you have a breakthrough if you haven't done this before. But after a while, it's going to stabilize. So you need deliberate practice to keep going. Deliberate practice is to systematically break the entire process into parts and identify and improve your weaknesses. And you can talk about like vocabulary, your listening comprehension, your pronunciation, your reading, writing, different components of your English, focusing in on those and understanding, getting feedback on what you can do to get better. And this is where maybe a good coach or teacher can come in, native or non-native, but it can be huge for your learning. They give you feedback, you focus on improving it, you just improve that component and your English will keep improving. So this is something that very successful people will, there's a lot of research on this, actually. The psychology, performance psychology, actually. The name of the researcher is Anders Ericsson. He's done like a ton of really great research on this. He had a book called Peak that talks about the world's greatest performers in many domains. And it's no different with English. Anyway, that's don't just learn it, live it. But moving on to the next step in the real life way, this is the third step, to discover the truth about native English. So what's the problem with the way that people are learning right now, Ethan?
So generally, all of us, you know, have been in a language classroom where your teacher, for you to practice your listening, they put on maybe some CD or cassette, depending on how long ago you were learning. And it's kind of a scripted conversation where the people speak pretty robotically. And so it's pretty easy to understand. But this doesn't really prepare you for the reality of how natives really speak. And so then you experience it by either maybe you're traveling to a country where people speak their language natively, or you are trying to watch TV series or listen to music and you're like, I don't understand any of this. And you kind of blame yourself for it when really it's just that you haven't been discovering the truth about native English. So you don't really, like I said, you don't learn how to understand natives, how we really speak. You don't learn that we cut and we connect our words. We reduce them, we morph them and blend them. And on top of that, we speak a little bit faster than you might be accustomed to. But most people tend to say like, oh, natives speak too fast. But it's kind of, you have to see that there is much more to it than just the speed with which we speak. A lot of times, if you can learn to understand this truth about how we really speak, the mechanics of connected speech, then you're going to realize that it doesn't really matter how fast someone is speaking if you can catch these different rules. So
yeah, for example, you know, you might learn that somebody might say, a native might say, would you like to go to the beach? But we don't speak like that so mechanically, so robotically. We actually merge our words together. We might say, would you like to go to the beach? Would you like to go to the beach? Or there's an example from Friends. We made a video for Learn English with TV series, and Joey was saying like, why don't you call my Uncle Frankie? He doesn't say, why don't you call him? He says, why don't you call my Uncle Frankie? Why don't you call? And so you never learn that in English class. You never learn
exactly
when you're learning to read and write that natives actually, we break all the rules, and it's not something that's incorrect. It's just, it's a universal pattern. It's the natural rhythm and flow of native speech. And there are some guiding rules to this. And this is one of the things that we focus on in a lot of our courses and a lot of our lessons. We focus on content and function words.
Hey guys, this is Justin again with a quick, simple, powerful native connected speech tip brought to you by the Real Life Native Immersion Course. 41-week native immersion experience guided by your real-life fluency coaches, Ethan, Chad, and me, Justin. As you take advantage of all the steps of the real-life way, you will be building an indispensable base for some giant transformations. But as we talk about more specifically in this third step of the real-life way, to discover the truth about native English, to truly reach advanced fluency, you need to transform the way you think about and perceive native English. To help you start to build the tools you need to listen and even speak like us, each step of the Real Life Way lessons will contain a short but crucial 2 to 3 minute native connected speech tip that will help you understand how and why we cut, connect, and blend our words, and even give you the chance to listen and repeat. Today's native connected speech tip is about connecting and blending words that end with a D sound into words that start with a Y sound, like the example we just shared. Would you becoming would you or would ya, because would ends with D, which is followed by the word you, which starts with the letter Y. Another common example is did you, which becomes did you or did ya, which happens quite a lot with many of the question words that precede did in the simple past. For example, who did you, what did you, when did you, why did you, how did you, where did you, and which did you. Now I will give you just a few examples and also pause for a moment so you can repeat after me and imitate. Okay, so what did you say becomes, repeat after me, what did you say? What did you say? When did you arrive becomes, repeat after me, when did you arrive? When did you arrive? And why did you want to know becomes, repeat after me, why did you wanna know? Why did you wanna know? Natives often reduce these examples even more in informal situations. The examples we just shared would become as follows. What did you say? Repeat after me. What'd you say? What'd you say? When did you arrive becomes, repeat after me, when'd you arrive? When'd you arrive? Why did you want to know becomes, repeat after me, why'd you wanna know? Why'd you wanna know? This is exactly the type of thing we teach you about in the Real Life Native Immersion course, which you can learn more about inside the email you received containing this lesson, which includes a transcript for this, or at www.reallifeglobal.com/immersion. That's I-M-M-E-R-S-I-O-N. Now, back to this episode of The Real Life Way.
That's something we will explore more in the third step of The Real Life Way. But one important thing with this is if you can get to the point where at least you can understand natives, you don't need to speak like natives, but I think like 70% of the world's native English comes from the United States. And there's so much media, movies, music, podcasts coming from the United States that if you can get to the point where you understand Americans, understand people from other countries as well, you can consume the media and there comes a tipping point in your English. What's tipping point, Ethan?
We say like it can seem really difficult, but then all of a sudden something happens. You have maybe a realization or what we might call an aha moment. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can understand this. It's amazing. And it kind of takes you to this whole new level that you never thought was possible.
It's kind of like critical mass. So with listening comprehension, you get to the point where it's like you understand enough. So you get the main idea. Then it becomes more and more pleasurable. It becomes easier to consume native materials. So your learning accelerates because you're doing it more and more. It's more enjoyable. it's easier. And so you spend more time doing it and it just accelerates. So you start learning. So getting to that tipping point is really important, and not just learning English, but living it, because it makes the process just so much richer and enjoyable. And you can start using native learning materials a lot quicker. What about speaking, Ethan? How can people be native-like in their speaking? Is this something that we even want people, or that people should want?
So I think this is, it's obviously a very big subject. And when we get to the actual podcast discussing step four, we can go into this a lot more. But most people, I've gotten like so many emails from people that say, how can I speak perfect like a native? Which is almost like a contradiction in and of itself, because natives don't speak perfect. And I've actually just spending the last few months here in the States, as an English teacher, I tend to hone in more on people speaking, and more I'm realizing how many mistakes natives tend to make. So
Wait. What does hone in mean?
Hone in means to focus on something. So really I as an English teacher, as someone who's been doing this for so long, you know, when I hear English, I'm not just hearing my native tongue. I'm like, I kind of hear different aspects of it, which probably a normal person wouldn't pay attention to. And I'm sure Justin or Chad can attest to this as well. But that's the first thing to realize, is that natives do not speak perfectly. We make mistakes all the time. Mistakes are okay. And I think a big part of it, which is going to come in actually the next step, is actually speaking confidently. So we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But maybe you want to speak not like a native, but more native-like. So having certain aspects that sound like a native. So I would say the first thing that you have to recognize is input versus output. So input means that listening and reading. So it's basically that you're going to input a lot of native speech. So like watching, for example, we've talked about the TV series Friends is a great example of a TV series that really captured how natives tend to speak in the United States in their day-to-day life. So you would absorb materials like this, and then it will eventually kind of start to reflect itself on your output, on your speaking, on your writing. So when you listen a lot, it's not going to be enough just to make your speaking perfect, but it definitely helps. It definitely will affect it.
I would just add one thing here, is like learning to listen and recognize how we connect our words, right? If you can actually understand when we say like, hey, why don't you call my uncle, instead of why don't you call my uncle, recognizing those things is really important to really opening your perception to the way that natives really speak, right?
Exactly. And the more advanced you get in this, the more that your ear gets tuned to the language. Like I was saying, that you don't just start seeing it as, you know, the English language, but you start seeing kind of these different mechanics that Justin was talking about. You're going to actually be able to start to imitate it. So you could actually, we talked about deliberate practice, you could actually do some deliberate practice of, for example, listening to a part of let's take for example Friends again, that you listen to something that Joey says, and then you try to imitate it, you try to mimic it, and you record yourself and you listen to it compared to the original, and then you do it again and again and again, and you keep trying to get better and better. That would be like one example of a way that you could kind of start to sound a little bit more native like in your speaking. But
yeah, you can also like slow it down too, getting feedback from somebody as well, even like recording yourself, because a lot of times like when you record yourself, you have to get over your initial resistance to listening to your own voice, because most people don't even like their own voice in their native language, and it's going to be more painful when you first start in English. But getting used to that, because you can actually give yourself feedback and notice, compare, right? Like compare your voice sample to the actual native voice sample.
Exactly. And something that I'm actually really excited to talk more about, because it's kind of a mind-blowing idea for a lot of people who just have a lot of misconceptions about speaking like a native, is kind of this myth of the native speaker, which we're going to talk about a lot more in the fourth part of this podcast. But just for time's sake, because we don't want to go too long just on the outline, on the getting to know the real life way, why don't we go on to the next step?
The fourth step actually is to step outside your comfort zone and speak English. So the big problem is, like we mentioned before, is like you learn how to read and write in English, but you still can't speak. Most people, they learn English, they learn all this time. You ask them to speak and they're scared. They're scared of being judged, scared of being criticized. Maybe you're like this. Maybe you can understand everything we're saying, but you're still scared of actually going out there and speaking, that people are going to judge you, that they're going to criticize your English, that someday you're going to know enough to be able to overcome that. And this is just a myth. You are good enough now. So open your mouth and speak English courageously. So this is something that you don't need to be native like. What do you need to be, Ethan?
I would say in the beginning, you need to be able to speak just clearly enough for people to understand you. You need to be open to making mistakes. And a big part of this is just being courageous enough to have that very first conversation. And there's a lot of different techniques that we could talk about of ways that you can kind of make it easier on yourself, so it's not a really frightening situation that's going to scare you away from ever wanting to speak again. But there's a lot of ways to make this more comfortable, easier. And really, once you get going, you're going to realize that people are much more supportive of you than you might have thought. It's not likely people are going to laugh at you if you make a mistake or if they can't understand you at first or something like that. And if they do, then that's probably not people that you want to hang out with anyway. So I would add in here,
like, maybe it's kind of a good exercise to imagine the worst case scenario. So maybe somebody does laugh at you. You know, it's like, if you do it enough, everybody has embarrassing stories, right? You're probably going to miscommunicate something and just get over that. You know, it's just like, okay, you know, you're going to have problems at some point, and that's okay, because you're going to get better and better, and it's going to get easier and easier. And that worst case scenario really isn't that bad. It might turn out to be a good story too.
Yeah. I think, like, it's a big thing I always tell my students is to learn to laugh at yourself. So it's, you know, if someone laughs at you, then just kind of like laugh along, you know, don't take yourself so seriously. We all make mistakes. You know, all of us have had to learn a language at some point, and it's pretty amazing what you're doing. Like, even if you just know a little bit, which if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know more than a little bit. It's already pretty amazing what you've been able to do. So honor that, be proud of it, and don't be too afraid to take that first step and open your mouth.
Yeah, so you're going to be reinventing your English learning process, your speaking ability, step by step, and where you are right now is not a reflection of where you're going to be if you keep going, if you're persistent, if you're perseverance with your learning. So this is really important, and in step four, we're really going to dive into this and show you what it's like to step outside your comfort zone and speak English. This is so key to being a fluent speaker. But on to step five, this is something we're really excited about. We talked about at the beginning, not just realizing your potential as an English learner, but as a human being. And this is where we say, be the change you wish to see in the world. This is where we see English as the global language. Our promise is that we will connect you to a world beyond borders, a global consciousness and community, and realization of the fact that no matter what divides us, that which unites us is far greater. So, like we said, one of the biggest problems that people have is they have a lack of purpose, that they have a lack of meaning in their English. They aren't really glimpsing, they're not really understanding until they actually expand their perspective and learn English, that the most valuable thing you can learn is not the mechanical ability to communicate. It's actually the perspective that you acquire. It's your new identity, because you go from being somebody who has a limited perspective on the world. So if you're Brazilian or even American or from any other country and you only speak that language, if you can only see from that cultural point of view, when you learn that other language, when you learn English, in this case, English as the global language especially, that your perspective completely expands. So first of all, as you discover that English is the global language, kind of start to think about it, there are three times as many non-native speakers as natives in the world. And the more that you learn English and open up to this world of natives and non-natives, this 1.5 billion people on the planet that speak English, you are opening yourself up to a new level of opportunities, a new dimension of information, of culture, of relationships, and you are walking through the door of a hyper-connected global reality where English is the operating system. So as you expand your perspective on the world, as you transcend and include your particular culture, you are creating a world beyond borders, beyond the physical, linguistic and cultural borders of your kind of like your limited understanding. But really, to get there, you need to pass through a moment, an aha moment. First of all, Ethan, what does aha moment mean, and what is that aha moment?
So I actually mentioned this earlier in the podcast, I believe. An aha moment is a realization, and it's actually in English. I'm not sure really in other languages what sound they use, but in English we say when someone suddenly realizes something, they suddenly understand something. A lot of times we'll actually say aha. We make that sound. So an aha moment is a moment where you kind of all of a sudden understand something. It hits you. The realization of this is that no matter what divides us, what unites us is far greater. And there's actually a Seneca quote. It's one of my favorite quotes, and it is, "I am not born for one corner. The whole world is my native land." And I feel like the more that you learn English, the more that you connect with people from other countries, and not even necessarily by traveling. I've seen a lot of people be able to have this aha moment just by connecting with people online. It's it's one of the most amazing things about the internet is it has brought all of us so much closer. Just right now, I'm in the United States recording this podcast. Justin is in Brazil, and we're able to connect over these ideas. And you can do the exact same thing. You know, that's something that we are making huge efforts to try to facilitate for you. So for a lot of people, it might take first going through the other four parts, the other four steps of the Real Life Way to have this understanding. Some people, it might be more innate. It might be something that they already feel inside of them. And learning English kind of gives them the frame to really be able to communicate about it and understand it and deepen their understanding of it.
Yeah, this is one of the things I think the traditional system could do a lot better, really giving people this insight from the very beginning. Because if people realize the magnitude of this, the importance of looking at the world from that global perspective, this can drive your entire learning process. It's so motivating, gives so much meaning. It's so much better of a purpose, deeper of a purpose, at least, to learn English than, you know, get a promotion at your job or to make more money, which are great reasons. But really, it's like, it doesn't really tap into our self-realization, really realizing our potential as human beings and as English learners. So one of the important things to realize is that this is not just like a fluffy, empty concept. This is actually something that is being defined by the United Nations and this notion of like just recognizing that we all have stereotypes about the world. Think about like our worldview. When you think about different countries, if you don't know people from those countries, if you don't have specific information about those countries, you have a caricature in your head of that country that is probably not accurate once you visit that country or meet people from that country. So maybe like meeting people from these countries opens our mind more and more and more, and having that humility just to recognize that we don't know what other countries are like.
And the crucial thing here is just, I think, being curious, you know, actually being really open to learning without your prejudgments, as we were saying, asking a lot of questions, asking really deep questions, not being afraid to, you know, maybe step on some toes, we might say, not being kind of afraid to offend someone a little bit. And of course, you need to get to a point of comfort with this person to have the trust to be able to ask those kind of questions. But I think the more that you can just be really, really curious about different people's backgrounds, different people's ways of thinking, and not letting your judgment get in the way, the more that you're really going to embody this idea of the global citizen.
So what do you mean by embody, Ethan?
It means that you're a representation of that thing. So you basically would be like a key example that someone could point to and say, hey, that person is a global citizen. They don't judge other people based on where they come from. They don't judge people based on their religion. They don't listen to everything that they hear in the news. They make their own decisions. They're a critical thinker. So I'm really excited for step five, for talking about those really big level ideas, and of course everything that's going to come before it in the next in this lesson, obviously, and in the next five episodes of the Real Life English podcast over the next few weeks. So if you open every email and listen to every episode, we are going to be sending you a very special present. I think that we have shared some really big level ideas. I hope you guys are excited. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention before we wrap up here, Justin?
I'm really excited to have these conversations with you and to really bring to the world our mission of inspiring, empowering, connecting the world through English, inspiring you to awaken the determination that you need to realize your true potential, empowering you with the strategies, skills, and courage you need to step outside the classroom into the real world, not just learn English, but to live it, and connecting you to a world beyond borders, that global consciousness, that global community, and the realization of the fact that no matter what divides us, what unifies us is far greater. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that deserves a really big oh, yeah. So should we count down from three and play these guys out of here?
Let's do that.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a wrap.
And the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. Yeah. me.